Would you take your Bibles tonight and turn to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 10 through 13 as we continue our study on spiritual warfare. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Father, I ask you again tonight to speak to us right where we are. Lord, I know that we are living in a time and an age where there's probably more spiritual warfare going on than maybe any time. Lord, it's certainly at hand. Lord, you've called us to be prepared. You've called us to put on and use the weapons of our warfare. And I pray, Lord, that we will be strong in you, Lord, that we'll be ready to face any obstacles that come, any enemies that attack. And we'll do it in your mighty power. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The very first thing that Paul talks about in spiritual warfare, beginning in verse 10, is getting ready, getting prepared. Now, if you get attacked and you're not prepared, then whose fault is that? Ours, right? Okay. So the Lord wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be ready because there's no doubt that we face battles on a regular basis. The more ready you are, the better off you're going to be. It's kind of like the guy who went to an ammo store or a gun store and he bought a .357 Magnum. He bought plenty of rounds of ammunition. He took it home and then he put it in the gun safe in his house. Well, when somebody broke into his house that day or that night, guess what he had to do? He had to go to his gun safe, try to open the combination in the dark, and get his gun out and then put the ammo in it. And, you know, he wasn't ready. Right? It doesn't matter if you have the ammo. It doesn't matter if you have the weapon. If you yourself and if we're not ready. Okay, so Paul says, this is the preparation. This is getting battle ready. He says, first of all, be strong in the Lord. This power, God's power, comes from God alone, right? We cannot stand against the forces of this evil world and the principalities and the authorities in our own power. I mean, we just can't do it. We're just humans. We're just fleshly people. And although we might try to stand, it wouldn't be much. But in the power of the Lord, to be strong in the Lord, in God's power, we have everything that we need. This is why Paul has commanded us not to be filled with wine, the things of this world that control us, but to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, why fill ourselves with things that this world says are really, really important that won't help us in this battle that we're facing? Instead, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because in our own power, we are no match for the spiritual powers that we face. That's why it's an imperative command. In fact, in the Greek text, it literally is a command, an imperative command. Paul says, be strong. Endymoute means literally to be empowered by the power of God Himself, which is the most mighty power of all. Excuse me. Joshua chapter 3 Verse 5 says it like this. Joshua told the people before they entered into the promised land that on the other side of the river Jordan, he got them all together and he said this, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, he didn't say, okay, guys, you get ready for battle because we're going to march across the river and then we're going to march around Jericho and we're going to take the city. He didn't say that. What he says is get yourself ready because the Lord will do amazing things among us. You see the difference? You see, we can't do enough physical preparation. We can't do enough all these other things that we might try to do to get ready and expect to still stand against the evil one and his forces because we can't do that. But in the Lord, we certainly can. It is His mighty power, and we are to consecrate ourselves to Him. You see, without Him, we can do nothing. But with His empowerment, what does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things, how? Through Christ, who gives me my strength. Right? And so when Paul is sharing this preparation time, this getting ready for the battle, he's literally saying to us this, don't even try to do this on your own, because you will fail. Do this only in the power of our Heavenly Father. Do this only in the power of our mighty God. He's the one who can take you and do things through you that you could never do on your own. In the Old Testament, the term was be courageous. Joshua chapter 3, we just looked at that. The New Testament is the concept of being encouraged. Be courageous, be encouraged. Here. Now, it's interesting that the term or the name for the Holy Spirit is Paraclete. And it's the one, it literally means the one who walks alongside you to what? Encourage you. Encourage means to put courage into you. When we encourage one another, what we're doing is we are building each other up in a proper way. I honestly believe we don't encourage each other enough. Because we're always waiting for somebody else to encourage us. Right? We're sometimes so selfish that that's what we're doing. We're just waiting for somebody else to come and pat us on the back. But literally, God wants us to be encouraged by the fact that the Holy Spirit is now with us and He's walking alongside of us and He is lifting us up. He wants us to be encouraged, full of courage. The courage, power, and strength of God is put into us by His Spirit. Thus, we can be strong in the Lord. It has nothing to do with our power, which is nothing. It has everything to do with His power in us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we looked at this last week, says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In other words, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, listen, when I'm writing a letter to you, I'm not writing a letter to a bunch of individual people in the church. I'm writing this letter to the body of Christ. Not individual things, not a head and a foot and an arm. I'm writing it to the body of Christ. Because together we are blessed with the presence of our Lord. And we can be strong in Him. He has blessed us where? In the heavenly realms, that passage just said. Now, what are the heavenly realms? It's the areas that he just talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, because we face the devil's schemes, the struggles not against flesh and blood, against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and spiritual forces of evil, where? In the heavenly realms. So He has blessed us in the heavenly realms. How? With every spiritual blessing. It's what that passage says. With every spiritual blessing. What is a spiritual blessing? To be able to stand. To be able to stand firm. To be able to fight in a spiritual manner. How do you fight spiritually? You take up the weapons of your warfare. And we'll talk about that as we continue to go through this. And every single one of these things that we talk about are areas in the spiritual realm, period. Not the physical realm. It's in the spiritual realm. And He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. When you accept Christ as your Lord, you enter into a new arena of battle in the heavenly realms. I dare say that many people, when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, have no clue that this is about to happen. That they are about to pass over into a new life. The Scripture says a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And now I face a totally new thing because Satan changes his battle plan and focuses it on people that know Jesus Christ, because he doesn't have to do that to people that don't know Jesus Christ. They're already lost. But he focuses on Christians because he knows that if he can defeat them in any way, if he can discourage them, take instead of encourage, that's what he does, he discourages. And if he can discourage us, then he knows that he's already caused us to be fruitless and not accomplish anything that God has called us to be. When you accept Christ as your Lord, you enter into that new arena of battle in the heavenly realms. So we are to be strong in the Lord, Paul says. Secondly, he says, and put on the full armor of God. The picture here is the covering of God. You recall what the covering meant in the Old Testament. It was the atonement. It was putting blood over the doors. It was the blood that was sprinkled on the altar. It was the blood that covered our sins. And now his covering over us in war is the armor of God. And as we start taking a look at each piece of this armor that we're supposed to be wearing, each one of them will have significant value in the total realm of what God's trying to do in our lives. God wants us to put on the full armor, not just a portion of it. I mean, what kind of a warrior would go out with just a helmet and nothing to cover his body? Or what kind of warrior would go out with just a sword but no shield? I mean, we need to make sure that we cover ourselves, because God has given us all of these things through the power of His Holy Spirit. He has covered our sin completely. We are completely covered. There's no sin that we'll ever commit that's not been covered by the blood of Jesus, by the way. In fact, Psalms 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Now, if God has removed all of our sins from us, how many sins do you have? Okay, this is math time, right? You had 100%. God came and took 100%. How many percent do you have left over? Zero, right? He's covered it all. His blood was sufficient. It was the atonement. It has covered us. And now as we walk in areas of spiritual dominions, we need to walk covered as well. Our sins have been taken care of. But the walking in God is just starting. In this instance, Paul says we must put on the full armor. Well, how do you put on the full armor? What do you have to do? Well, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, it says that we need to be filled by the fullness of God. Did I get that passage on there, by the way? If you go to the next slide. I didn't. Okay, so I'm going to read it to you real quick. A couple of pages back, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father from whom His whole family in heaven and earth derives its name, and I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. We put on the full armor by being filled with the fullness of God. The fuller we are of Him, the more empty we are of ourselves, right? We've all done the science thing where you have a glass of water and then you have oil and you start pouring oil into the water and it displaces the water. We need the oil of God in us. And then he goes on to say, we also put on the full armor by being more mature in Him. Ephesians 4:14-16. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We begin to mature in Him. One of the frustrations in Paul's life was in the church in Corinth. And he'd written them a letter, as we call it, 1 Corinthians, encouraging them to grow in their faith. The bottom line is that's what the letter was all about. He writes back in the second letter and he says, I wish I could speak to you as grown Christians, but I still now have to speak to you as babies. You are still feeding on the milk of the Word. In other words, they never grew up. They never chose to feast on God's Word and grow in their personal spiritual lives. We need to be filled with the fullness of God. We need to mature in Him. Thirdly, we need to take off the old and put on the new. Just a little bit later, he says to the Ephesians, he says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way, verse 20 of chapter 4. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those that are in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, how? Just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, we are to be filled with the fullness of God. We are to mature in Him. We are to take off the old and put on the new. Then in the first part of Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 5, verses 1 through 19, we are to learn to walk in love and be filled to overflowing with the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to read that whole passage, but it literally is talking about the fact that because we have put on the new self, the new the new person in Christ, the new creation. We are to walk in that. We are to exist in that. We are to grow in that. We are to be filled with love that is overflowing with the Spirit. I wonder if people look at you and see love that's overflowing. I wonder if they look at me and see love that's overflowing. And then beginning in verse 20 of chapter 5, all the way through verse 9 of chapter 6, it talks about being submissive to God, to each other, husbands and wives, how we are to treat each other, children, how they are to be submissive to their parents, how we are together be able to be submissive to the head of Christ, who Christ is. We are to be submissive. Now, you would think, if I'm training to be a warrior, why would I want to be submissive? Because we train differently than the world trains. See, because Paul had mentioned, by the way, he says, this is how I know that God's at work in me. Because when I am weak, then He is strong. The more we give up of ourselves and walk in Him, the stronger we become spiritually. And he uses us in those ways. Paul is showing us how to prepare for spiritual battle. You see, you cannot fight this battle in your own strength or you will be defeated. That's why there's so many Christians walking around defeated. Because they're trying to exist in their own power and just asking God to bless what they do. I thought that was an interesting statement when I read that. That's what a lot of Christians do. They walk around in their own power and ask God to bless what they're doing. Something's a little wrong with that, don't you think? In other words, we ought to be asking God, what is it you want me to do? And then I don't have to ask for your blessing. Right? It's like during 9/11, we saw signs all over the United States, God bless America, but should they have really said, America bless God? And there's never been a time more important than right now for America to bless God. We must see this difference. We must see the difference so that this battle that we're in, this spiritual warfare that's going on right now in our country and around the world, the only way that we can stand strong is in His mighty power. The only way that we can stand strong is to put on the full armor of God. The only way we can do this is by submitting ourselves completely to Him. We must see this difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 says this, "For we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power, God's power, to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." There's a huge difference in what a lot of people think it's supposed to be and what it really should be. We've got to see that difference. You see, the Scripture says we are not of this world any longer. Everything in us must be different. We can't align with the philosophies of this world. We can't align with the powers of this world. We can't allow with the people of this world. We have to align ourselves with the King of this world, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In doing so, then we can begin to fight the battle that God's laid out for us. Amen? Lord, I pray that You'll help us as we begin this process of going through the weapons, specific weapons of our warfare. But help us to be ready to do that, because it wouldn't do us any good to see what these weapons are if we're not ready to put them on.
I mean, we could have them laying around our room the rest of our lives. There's the helmet over there. There's the shield. There's the sword. There's the coverings for my feet. I have all these things, God, right here. And He says to us, why don't you put them on? Why don't you live in them? Why don't you walk in faith and trust me to empower you and encourage you to do what you need to do in a world that's absolutely gone nuts? They're following a different path. God is calling upon His people to get ready for battle. And I pray that we will be. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.